So, slight change of plan. So we can begin with a short meditation period of 30 minutes. So please make yourself comfortable, but not too comfortable. So the practice of meditation is a putting forth of effort, and the effort itself is the reward. So we're seeking to develop the ability to put forth a special kind of effort. And it's an effort which is imbued with relaxation. So generally we are familiar with effort as being the direct opposite of relaxation. When we work, we tend to get stressed out, we lack relaxation. When we're relaxed, then there's no effort involved. That's why we call it relaxation. But in meditation, seeking to develop the ability to maintain focus, to instill some inner discipline and order in the mind. In a way that we feel both strengthened and refreshed. So the relaxation does arise, but it's not the goal. It's one byproduct of the meditation. If relaxation becomes the goal of meditation, then the mind will grasp onto it and dullness or even sleepiness will result. So in meditation, we have a very efficient feedback system at our disposal. If you try too hard without relaxation, you'll get tense, your breathing will be unnatural, you may develop a headache or constriction, feelings of constriction in your chest. If you're too relaxed, then you'll just daydream or fall asleep. So your immediate experience is the feedback by which you are able to develop and cultivate this relaxed attention, relaxed effort. Now this harmony of effort and relaxation begins in our posture. So the areas of the body in which we put our effort into are the spine and the head. So the straight spine, kind of Mount Fuji straight, not rigidly straight. And with the head, we can imagine a pull from the top of our head, gently pulling up towards the ceiling. We could imagine like a marionette string pulling the head upwards slightly. So there is effort expended on maintaining the spine and the head in a straight line. Effort is expended here because if we lack effort in sustaining the straightness of the posture, then it's very easy to become dull and sleepy. And we can help to prevent dullness through our posture. The other parts of the body, we can relax. So it's not so important how you place your legs, how you place your arms and hands, but there should be this balance between the effort put into maintaining a straight and still posture, in particularly emphasis on the spine and the head, and the relaxation on the rest of the body. Now, the mind is very busy, and thought and mental states are very similar to addictions to the untrained mind. And so it's completely natural and normal for the mind to revolt and object strongly when you try to give up your drug, the drug of memory, imagination, thought, emotion. So be prepared for that and consider it as part of this learning process, this exploration that we call meditation. So the things that arise in your mind and appear as obstacles to meditation are already there in your mind. They're already causing you suffering in your life. But it's very difficult to single them out and recognize them in busy everyday life. In a meditation session, we cut out as much extraneous influence as we can and isolate the body and the mind. And then we, in order for us to be able to see very clearly how these negative mental states arise, what they feed on, what strengthens them, what weakens them, what allows them to pass away. So there's a lot of very important learning going on in the first stage of meditation, because we're only able to free ourselves from these mental state, negative mental states, when we fully understand them. It's not something that can be accomplished purely through an act of will. So we take one object for a meditation, and would recommend today that we take the breath. Now, there are many ways of attending to the breath or developing a close and beneficial relationship with the breath. To begin with, we may follow the breath in and out of the body by establishing three points of observation: the tip of the nose, the chest, and the abdomen. So as the breath enters the body, first point is the tip of the nose, the second point the chest area, the third point the abdomen. On the exhalation, the abdomen, the chest, the tip of the nose. This is a preliminary exercise to develop some familiarity with the breath. After we've been practicing, meditating in this way for a while, the next stage is to reduce the scope of attention from the whole process of the inhalation, the exhalation, to the observation of the sensation of the breath at one particular point. This can maybe any one of those three, although most meditators prefer the first, the area around the tip of the nose or between the nose and the upper lip. And you want to find the point at which the mind rests and it feels natural and unforced and comfortable. And then the task is to sustain attention on that one point. Now, we may use a mantra to help the mind to stay with the breath. For instance, the mantra Buddho, which is taken from the word Buddha, but with an O on the end. And so the inhalation, mentally recite put on the out breath, to. Again, this is a way of persuading the mind to stay with the breath, to prevent it becoming bored with the breath, giving it something extra to grasp onto at the beginning of the practice. As the mindfulness becomes stronger, then the meditation word can be abandoned. Similarly, a counting technique may be used where, for instance, one counts on the inhalation one, on the exhalation one, 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 4, 5, 5. If you can count 5 inhalations and exhalations without distraction, then begin again and count 1 to 6, and then 1 to 7, then 1 to 8, 1 to 9, 1 to 10. If you get lost, then you have to begin right at the beginning. So this is a very good exercise for developing sharp awareness of the inhalation and exhalation. Similarly, once the mindfulness becomes more strongly established, then the counting may be abandoned and attention is focused solely on the breath. The uniqueness of the breath as a meditation object is that it changes as the meditation progresses. It becomes progressively more subtle. And so there is a need to be adapting the intensity of the mindfulness to keep pace with the change of the breath. So unlike most meditation objects, which become clearer and clearer as you meditate, this one becomes more subtle, more refined, and demanding a very sharp, bright observation of the breath.